Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been interrupted by wonder? Anybody here ever interrupted by wonder? Thank you. Now, another one, thank you. Wonder doesn't have to be the dazzling special effects in the new Star Wars movie. You know, it can rather also be some everyday events. Would you like to hear a couple of examples that I thought of this past week, or the way I was interrupted by wonder? Thank you. As you know, I drive here every morning. And you know, some mornings in this past week, the way the sun shines through the clouds is amazing. Interrupted by wonder. I received a Christmas card at the church here from Sally Wiley. Does anybody remember who Sally is? A few? Thank you. She lived three houses up the street here, and her husband Ron's funeral was here a year ago, November. And she always helped, or usually helped, at the rummage sale at the knick-knack table that I was at as well. Now, this past summer, she moved to Owen Sound to be near her daughter. But it was a thank you card for all the church had done for her this past year. Interrupted by wonder. And lastly, Margot and I tape our TV shows. I imagine, and then when we have time, we'll watch them. A few of you, I think, would know what Magnum P.I. is. You heard? Thank you. Detective show. So we watch Magnum. Probably about 3 weeks ago, Magnum was taken off to Argentina or Brazil. And partway through the show, there was an aerial shot of Iguazu Falls that borders Argentina and Brazil. And Margot and I both looked at one another and said, "You have got to be kidding." Why? Because at that very moment, my oldest sister Joan and her husband Dennis, guess where they were? Oh, no. Iguazu Falls. A little side trip before they started an Antarctic cruise. Amazing. Interrupted by wonder. So my question for you today is, have you ever been interrupted by wonder? You can think quietly about it yourself, or find a person around you. Try and find someone you usually don't talk to. Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is... And share a time that you were interrupted by wonder. Go. Stop. Thank you. And your homework this week is to spend a little time thinking about how you have been interrupted by wonder in your life, and please share that story with someone else. Does anyone want to shout out briefly their wonder moment, or a moment when they were interrupted by wonder?
Seeing mountains for the first time.
Seeing mountains for the first time. Thank you. Any others?
Seeing my great-granddaughter for the first time.
A great-grand... Absolutely. Thank you.
Daily sunrises on Lake Ontario.
Thank you. Any others?
Rainbows.
A double rainbow. Absolutely. Thank you. Interrupted by wonder. We in our lives need to stop and pay attention when we're interrupted by wonder. I'm Alan Warren, and today's message is The Shepherd's Story. And I want to thank you for coming. This is an incredibly busy time of year, and thank you for taking some time to gather to worship God. Today, you will learn who a modern-day shepherd might be. You will learn what the main point of the Christmas story is, as some consider, and that maybe, just maybe, there's something here for us in the birth of this child. Now, we do not agree that the shepherds, being visited by an angel, that they were interrupted by wonder. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. Now, I also wonder today if retail workers might be an example of modern-day shepherds. They're out right now looking after the flocks of shoppers that flood the stores at Christmas, most of whom are on minimum wage. They sometimes might look a little stressed and ragged from dealing with not only the crowd or the flock of shoppers, but the occasional grumpy and demanding sheep. Now, maybe you in your shopping can give them cause to wonder by being empathetic, patient, and kind at the checkout line and other times. You need to know that shepherds were despised by the good Orthodox people of the day, or in other words, the good churchgoers. They were quite unable to keep up the details of ceremonial law. They could not observe the meticulous hand washing and rules and regulations. Their flocks made far too consistent demands on them, so they couldn't come to church on Sundays. How many shopping days left till Christmas? Three shopping days. Zero? There you go. Hopefully you've all got it done. I know I'm doing some last minute tomorrow, so I'll try and be kind to the shepherds. The New Student Bible I mentioned last week makes an interesting note. If a public relations firm planned the introduction of God's Son on earth, who do you think they would invite? Think of that for a moment. If a public relations firm planned the introduction of God's Son on earth, who would they invite?
TikTok stars.
Who? Thank you.
TikTok stars.
TikTok stars.
What all the kids are doing nowadays.
Thank you. I learned something today. TikTok stars. Anybody else?
Kings and queens.
Kings and queens. Thank you.
Trudeau,
thank you. There you go. I was going to say a rock star, so, you know, or a sports star. Elton John, I heard. Thank you. Now, prime ministers, kings, queens, famous people, certainly not the group that Luke does. There was no Roman Empire. There was no Greek philosopher. Instead, Luke tells of an obscure priest and his wife, old priest, a carpenter and his fiancée, a group of shepherds, and two elderly unknown people who attend the temple. Jesus never had much to do with the high and mighty except during his trial and execution. But he would change the world through the lives of ordinary people. Ordinary people. That sound familiar? Me? You? Does anybody here think of themselves as ordinary? I know I do at times. A Mary or a Joe? A Simon? An Anna? Does anybody here remember Frank Sinatra's song, One More for the Road? Who is Joe in that song? Thank you. He's the bartender. And what is he doing? Set him up, thank you. I didn't want to focus on that. He was listening, absolutely. I hope you don't mind me bending your ear. When I'm so gloomy, won't you listen to me till it's talked away? Wow. Ever been through a hard time in your life? Yeah. Have you ever wished or had someone who listened to you? I mean, really listened to you? To help talk the gloom away. Now, it's easy to get distracted at Christmas. We're all rushing to and fro. No time to listen to anyone, much less our own inner voice. Anyone here have any more shopping to do? Yeah, thank you. What about family gatherings? Any family gatherings to attend to, maybe? Okay, thank you. What about church services? Any church service? Please put your hands up. Thank you. Awesome. That's absolutely wonderful. The story of Jesus' birth that we tell over and over again every Christmas. We sing carols about shepherds and kings. And this Christmas Eve, we have a wonderful story of the Christmas star at the family service. It's a cute story. I think you'll love it. But sometimes, you know, Christmas pageants gloss over an important point in this story. That Jesus, the Son of God, one of the most important, if not the most important person ever to walk the earth. Where was he born? Thank you, in a stable. Was it very sanitary? How did it smell? Yeah, not so good. The cows, the chickens, the cockroaches, parents of pretty ordinary folks in a not very nice place. So what is the point of the story? That he was important. Absolutely, thank you. Angels announced his birth. The point is that Jesus, in some deep and mysterious way, is both human and God. Not half God and half human, as in some Greek mythology, but completely human and completely God. And if that confuses you, you're in good company. It's a theology that has been wrestled with for years. It's called a paradox. Logically, it doesn't hang together. But who said the Christian faith is totally logical? It makes sense to us as Christians who experience Jesus both as God and human through the stories in the gospel, our own devotional lives, and gathering together in worship. This child is special, but very ordinary. Born in a barn, but a special star over the stable. Come Christmas Eve to find out more about the star. The stink of manure is mingled with the fragrance of frankincense brought by wealthy astrologers who kneel in the dirt. When do you think the last time they did that was? Like maybe never? Before a simple child. The baby is honored with all kinds of extravagant titles, Son of God, Savior, Prince of Peace, but his parents have to pick him up and run because a dictator wants to slaughter him. The child of God is a refugee. The Bible stories are told not so much to record history, but to help the teller and the listener of the story understand in a way that goes beyond logical argument who this Jesus was and what he's about. That holds true not only for his birth stories, but also for the rest of the stories about Jesus. Anybody here like a good party? Anybody? Thank you. Have you ever eaten too many appetizers before the main course at any of these get-togethers? Absolutely. That you're stuffed before the main meal and the stuffing comes? Absolutely. Ralph Milton warns that the Christmas story is the appetizer, and that for far too many people, we stop here and miss the main course. And that the main course, being the part of the story about Jesus that starts 30 years later with his baptism and ministry. And that's why in the church year, we zoom right in almost immediately on the second Sunday of January every year is his baptism and then his ministry. One author said the most important detail of the birth story is where the baby is laid, in a manger. Do you know what a manger was used for? Thank you. Feeding. Feeding trough. Pigs, cows, donkeys, you name it. So here we have a picture of Jesus lying in a manger as food for the world. Think of it. Wow. Did anybody come here on a donkey today? No donkey riders? Horse riders? Though technology has changed dramatically since Luke's day, the twin travel narratives of the Christmas story are remarkably accessible to postmodern pilgrims. That would be us. Weary, like Mary and Joseph, in all the Christmas rush, we are longing for meaning that will reach beyond the chaos of the next few days, beyond our daily concerns for survival and compliance with all of life's demands and decrees. Would you like to find a window into what life is about? Would you like to uncover a sense of meaning and purpose for your life? Gospel writers encourage you to dig deeper into the stories of this child Jesus, not just the birth stories, but after he's all grown up, his life, who he hangs out with, the things he says, stories that shake up the common understanding of who's in and who's out, who God loves, and what it means to live in a fair and just world. And we catch a glimpse of that through the Christmas story. Dirty, smelly, uncupped shepherds, despised by many, yet they were the ones interrupted by wonder and pointed to the manger. Let me share with you one account of the shepherd's story from Advent Unwrapped. A shepherd protects, feeds, and cares for sheep. This is important work, right? Out here on the Palestinian hills, this isn't how it's viewed by most people. For example, the Pharisees say we don't follow religion, but think about it. We can't leave our sheep and are constantly looking for fresh pastures. This schedule doesn't quite fit with Jewish faith practices or any other religious rhythm of worship. So they call us Gentiles, which implies we're outsiders. Living out here on the hills, we have developed our own culture. We have no possessions and subsist on the barest necessities. We can be a bit rough around the edges. Protecting our sheep from poachers makes us distrustful of strangers, so we tend to see the worst in people. Conversely, society doesn't have a very high view of us either, so we're pushed aside, forgotten, and judged as inferior. So imagine our surprise that night when we heard the sound of angel voices. Angels! Many of us didn't even believe in angels. Yet here they were on the hillside telling us they had a message from God. Some of the townsfolk were scandalized to first hear the news. Why wasn't the news brought to kings or Pharisees? Why was the news brought to the very people kings and Pharisees despised? After being told the great news, the angel urged us to go to Bethlehem to find the child. Seriously? We tend sheep, not children. We protect our stuff, our flocks. And now these angels expect us to risk our sheep being stolen while we go looking for a baby? What's God thinking? But what was really mind-blowing, we went. It was just as the angel said. The child was ordinary and extraordinary all at once. There was such peace and joy in the air around the manger where the baby lay. I spoke to the boy's father, Joseph. He was a gracious host and treated us well. We didn't feel like lowly shepherds that night. When we told him about the angels, he believed us. He made us feel like we were the right people to receive the message from God. Joseph encouraged us to share our story, his story, and the baby Jesus story. So as we returned to the hills, we told anyone who would listen, and we never stopped sharing the news. Everywhere we went, we told the story of the miraculous birth and how God had chosen us, those who were once so lowly, to tell the story. I wonder why Joe listened. Could it be that he also had seen an angel? Did you notice how Joseph's listening helped the shepherds tell their story? Helped them to believe in themselves? Ordinary people, interrupted by wonder, through simple acts of kindness, encouraged each other to play their part in the story of unfolding love for the world. What's your story? What's your part in the unfolding story of God's love and fairness, peace and goodwill that the angels foretold to lowly shepherds. Thanks be to God. Amen.